We're going to share with you Heavenly Father's untiring search for our love. Heavenly Father's untiring search for our love. But before we get into the message, let Dee and me share with you about our latest book entitled Profiting from the Path of Most Resistance. I wrote this book because I wanted to help people with life struggles, especially Christians who believe that God answers prayer, that He helps us during our trials, because sometimes it seems like He doesn't answer prayer, and that our trials just are unrelenting. Well, this book, Profiting from the Path of Most Resistance, tells the story of how God led Dee and me during the struggles I've faced with legal blindness and continual decline in vision. What we want to do is share with you the 4 points of the preface. Here, basically, we're going to read these 4 points, which describe the objective of the book and what it can do for you. Here it says,
the first objective is to harvest the benefit of suffering. The second objective, bring out the encouragement in Scripture. Third, illustrate the love of God. And the fourth objective is to stimulate appreciation of perseverance.
So here we have these 4 reasons for writing and publishing Profiting from the Path of Most Resistance. Now, I want us to take a second and go back through these 4 points, only read some details that are in the preface that we haven't read yet. Okay, the first point, Dee?
Harvest the benefit of suffering. God designed benefit into the suffering that afflicts His people. James wants to help the Lord's people harvest this benefit contained within trials, tribulations, and difficulties. And this harvest leads us into a life of unconditional victory.
So that's the key. There is benefit in difficulties if we will let God show that benefit to us. Second purpose.
Bring out the encouragement in Scripture. Even though suffering benefits God's people, we often become discouraged and give up before harvesting the victory He intends. So we want to point God's people toward the encouragement in Scripture that fortifies us with divine courage to keep going.
Fortifying us with divine courage to keep going when life is difficult. Okay, thirdly.
We want to illustrate the love of God. We often doubt God's love when pain afflicts us. Sometimes we regard suffering as a sign that He is displeased with us. We want to assure His people that God's love for us never wavers. He only intends the best for us, whether life treats us nicely or badly, pleasantly or unpleasantly.
And then the last point of the book.
To stimulate appreciation of perseverance. The New Testament repeatedly urges Christians to value the perseverance which God so highly prizes. Perseverance enables us to endure until we reap the benefit of suffering.
That's the key. We want to reap the benefit of suffering, and it takes perseverance to do so. So let me urge you to consider purchasing a copy of Profiting from the Path of Most Resistance. It's a non-denominational, or let's put it this way, an interdenominational book. Any Bible-believing Christian will benefit from Profiting from the Path of Most Resistance. There's an appendix in the back with an outline taken from Scripture. This appendix is called Miracles Are Medicine. So many of us struggle with this thing of, if I pray for God to heal me, then can I take medicine or wear glasses? Well, here we have this Bible answer as we go through the Old and New Testaments and point out Scripture, which shows that God sometimes heals by medicine, sometimes He heals through miracle, or sometimes He heals through a combination of both. The book is $10 plus shipping. So you can contact us at area code 361 The number is 991-6006. That was 361-991-6006. Or you can email us at anupliftingword@comfortencouragement.org. anupliftingword@comfortencouragement.org. Or our address, our mailing address, is 6926 Roseland Drive, Corpus Christi, 78414. And we would be glad to ship one of these to you. Like I say, $10 plus shipping, probably $2 for shipping, would be sufficient. Please consider profiting from the path of most resistance as a gift for one of your friends or family members. Well, this morning, as I earlier announced, we want to share with you a message entitled, Heavenly Father's Untiring Search for Our Love. In the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, God enjoyed being loved by humans. True, God is love, and we often concentrate on the love He gives us. But let's talk about the love we give Him. You see, God created us to be loved by us. He enjoys love from humans. In fact, listen to this little word picture from Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8. Here it says,
Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day.
You see, God's walking in the garden looking for Adam and Eve. He wanted to share himself with them, true, but he wanted them sharing themselves with him. You see, God needs our love. God values our love. He treasures it. In fact, there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 31, which describes the Lord's feeling for us. Here it says,
Rejoicing in His whole world and delighting in mankind.
There it is. God rejoices in His creation, His whole world, but He delights in mankind. We are a treasured possession to Him. So God, in the beginning, created humans to be loved by humans. He enjoys feeling our love. One of my favorite Old Testament scriptures is Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 17. This describes how God relishes the feeling of being loved by you and me. It says,
The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing.
He takes great delight in us. And then the last part of the verse says, He rejoices over us with singing. We are the source of His song. So Heavenly Father intended all humans to love Him. He wants to be loved. He wants to feel our presence, our loving presence, just like we enjoy feeling His loving presence. But humans refused to return God's love. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 6, describes how the first man and woman said, God, we will not love you in return for your love toward us. Genesis 3:6 describes this.
When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it.
This was more than an act of disobedience. It was a refusal to return God's love, the love He had so abundantly poured upon Adam and Eve and wants to pour out upon us. And then all Adam's and Eve's children have followed their parents' steps. Romans 3:23 declares that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have everyone refused to return Father's love. But in the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, Father, our Heavenly Father, began an untiring search for our love. Whenever God was pronouncing judgment upon the serpent, Adam and Eve, He inserted this statement from Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Here God indicated that He had begun that very day that Adam and Eve had rebelled against Him, God had begun an untiring search for human love. Here, Genesis 3:15 says,
I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.
To the serpent the Lord said, I am going to bring forth a seed, a child from this woman. He's going to crush your head. In other words, God was saying, I am going to deliver the human race from not loving me. And then, look at what God did in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21.
The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them.
They had created such flimsy garments for themselves, but God, instead of rushing them out of the Garden of Eden, instead of rejecting them, He killed an animal. God created the first death, killing this animal, and then clothing them in its skin, creating durable clothing for them. You see, God just refuses to quit searching for our love. In the very beginning, it's still in Genesis, God intervened in human hopelessness as He pursued humans to love Him. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Here the whole world had gone into idolatry. The whole world had become involved in the occult. The whole world had turned its back on God. But God said, I still will have their love. I still will not give up on the hope of being loved by humans. So He found a man named Abram. Now, Abram was an idol worshiper. He was raised in an idol-worshiping family. Read what it says, Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3.
The Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
God sovereignly and unexplainably chose this man Abram, who worshipped idols like everyone else. And God said, if you will follow me, I will make you a blessing to the whole earth. You see, God isn't a quitter. So He intervened in human hopelessness and called forth a man named Abram, who eventually became the father of the Jewish faith and even the Christian faith. Then, God attempted to bring a people from idolatry to Himself. Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, went into Egyptian bondage. And for 400 years, they worked for the Egyptians. But they also adopted the Egyptian religion. Most Israelis began serving the gods of their masters, the Egyptians. But look at this beautiful verse. Here we see God revealing His heart. His heart that needs our love. Exodus 19, verse number 4, here it says,
you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself.
Now notice the wording. God said, I brought you on eagle's wings. I brought you out of Egyptian bondage. I brought you through the wilderness. I brought you through the Red Sea. But what was His destination? The land of Israel? The promised land? No. Look at the last part of 19:4 in Exodus. He says, I brought you to myself. He was bringing the people into relationship with Himself. He hungers. He thirsts. He longs for relationship, a loving relationship with humans. He wants to be loved by you, my brother. He wants to be loved by you, my sister. So God, throughout history, has tried capturing our love. And whenever He could not capture our love by appealing to us with His love, then He allowed human suffering. But see, God's point for human suffering is that through the suffering, He wants to recapture human love. Look at what it says in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse number 5.
I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people of Israel who have all deserted me for their idols.
I will do this. I will allow you to go into bondage. I will allow you to be devastated as a country. I will allow you to go through tough times. I will allow your temple to be destroyed. So basically what God is saying here, He only allows human suffering after every other method of attracting us has failed, after He's done everything He can to draw us to Himself. He permits pain to come in the hope that through the pain we will call out to God and He can recapture our love. So God constantly woos mankind. He's wooing us, trying to bring us into the love that He made us for. In fact, we're going to read from Psalm 19, the first two verses. Here it describes how the heavens basically are God's tool, one of God's tool for reminding us that He's there, that He loves us, that He wants us. Psalm 19, verse 1 and 2.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge.
Did you hear that? All God made, all creation, He made it to woo us, to draw us, to attract us to Himself. That's the kind of God that loves the human race. That's the kind of God who sent His Son into the world for our sake. Listen to the first part of Job 36, verse 16. This is from the NIV, and it says,
He is wooing you.
God is wooing us. He's courting us. He's trying to win our hearts. He's trying to win our affection. After all, that's why He made us. Father unceasingly cries out for human attention. He wants our attention. So He does all He allows or causes to remind us, hey, you were made for me. You weren't made for idols. You weren't made for materialism. You weren't made for false religion. You weren't made for selfishness. You were made for me. He just is determined to be loved by us. So, He sent Hebrew prophets one after another. He sent Christian missionaries, starting with the Apostle Paul, one after another, in order to cry out and say, come back to God, the God who loves you and wants to be loved by you. But Father's ultimate cry for our love is Jesus. Jesus is the highest pinnacle of God shouting for our love. Jesus plainly told us of Father's primary goal for our lives. There are many, many reasons we exist, but God's primary goal for our lives is described in Matthew 22, verse 37 and verse 38. Here Jesus told us,
love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment.
Jesus said, you are on earth to love God supremely. You breathe, your heart beats, you exist to be a lover of God. It's impossible for us to conceive of how much God wants to feel our love. We want to feel His love. We want to experience His love. But, brother, sister, He's infinite. He's measureless. And so His hunger for our love must be insatiable. So He sent Jesus to tell us God's primary goal for our life is that we love Him. And then Jesus plainly demonstrated Father's primary goal for our lives. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8.
But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Jesus died for our sins while we were still sinners, while we cared nothing for God. You know what God was doing? He was saying, I want your love so much that I'll allow my Son to suffer, to die, to be buried. He gave His Son totally unselfishly for us to draw us into a love relationship with Him. Jesus used words which are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He used these words to tell us His goal for our life. And then He used Jesus as an object lesson, as a visual aid to draw us to Himself. He wants our love so desperately that He allowed His own Son to die. Father refused to rescue Jesus from the hands of sinful men. He refused to rescue Jesus from the will of a wicked devil who wanted to destroy and remove Jesus, because Father wants our love. Let's respond to Father's search for our love. Let's respond to His search for our love by accepting God's primary goal for our lives. God wants His primary goal becoming our primary goal. In fact, going back to the book I mentioned earlier, Profiting from the Path of Most Resistance, during the early years of my Christian life, I so much wanted God to answer my prayers the way I prayed them. I so much wanted God to heal my body and relieve me of the affliction I was born with. And whenever God didn't do things my way, I began building a wall between me and the Lord. I began drawing back from Him. But you see, I had forgotten that God's primary goal is that I love Him without any conditions. God wants my love. Yes, I need His love beyond measure. But He needs our love. And so, many of us withhold ourselves from God whenever He doesn't answer prayer the way we expected, or intervene in our lives the way we thought He should. But brother, sister, God changed my heart. He didn't heal my body, but He healed my inner person. He took away the anger I felt toward Him so that I could begin loving Him with no strings attached. He wanted an unconditional love. And one day, I said, God, You may never heal my body, but I want to keep the first and greatest commandment, which is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. So we want to accept God's primary goal for our lives as our goal in life. Then, Father will enable us to love Him more and more. God didn't call us into a static love for Him. God doesn't want a love that just remains the same day after day. I hear people talk about our first love for Jesus. That's great, but we don't want to stay with our first love. We want our first love just to be a launching pad from which increasing love for God grows and grows and grows in our hearts. In fact, I want to take you to another verse. This one is in Romans chapter 5, verse number 5. Listen to what it says, please.
And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us.
Let's leave off the first part of the verse, and let's read starting with the second phrase of the verse.
God has poured out His love into our hearts.
Now listen to that, brother, sister. God has poured out His love. God is in the process of pouring into you and me divine love, so that we love Jesus not with mere human love, but we love Jesus with Heavenly Father's love. We love Heavenly Father the way Jesus loved Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit fills us with God's love so that we love God with God's love. It's incredible. But that's what God is wanting to produce in our lives and bring forth from us. A love that's beyond anything we could give Him by ourselves. In fact, you know, we cannot really offer God anything without God first giving it to us. We give back to God what He gives to us. So, this verse says, God pours His love into our heart so that we can love Him back with our love, inspired and energized by a divine love. That's God's goal for our life. That's why He pursues us relentlessly. So, brother, sister, let's give ourselves to God's purpose for our lives this morning. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we never deserved to be loved. We only deserved wrath. We only reserved rejection. But that was never in Your heart. Your love for us, Father, has caused You to forgive our sins. Your love for us has caused You to keep on our trail. Whenever we ignored You, cared nothing for You, You continued pursuing us, and we thank You for Your untiring search for our love. Now, Father, equip us to love You with divine love. Equip us to love Jesus the way You love Him, Heavenly Father. We thank You now for Your help. In the name of Jesus, amen.